Now turn now in the scriptures to the book of Kings, 1 Kings, and chapter 13. We'll be reading this evening verses 1 through 34. 1 Kings 13. And we'll start in verse 1. First Kings 13, verse 1, this is the word of the living God. Give your attention to it. Now behold, there came a man of God from Judah to Bethel by the word of the Lord while Jeroboam was standing by the altar to burn incense. He cried against the altar by the word of the Lord and said, O altar, altar, thus says the Lord, behold, a son shall be born to the house of David, Josiah by name. And on you he shall sacrifice the priests of the high places who burn incense on you, and human bones shall be burned on you. And he gave a sign the same day, saying, this is the sign which the Lord has spoken. Behold, the altar shall be split apart, and the ashes which are on it shall be poured out. Now when the king heard the saying of the man of God, which he cried against the altar in Bethel, Jeroboam stretched out his hand from the altar, saying, seize him! But his hand which he stretched out against him dried up so that he could not draw it back to himself. The altar also was split apart and the ashes were poured out from the altar according to the sign which the man of God had given by the word of the Lord. The king said to the man of God, please entreat the Lord your God and pray for me that my hand may be restored to me. So the man of God entreated the Lord and the king's hand was restored to him and it became as it was before. And the king said to the man of God, come home with me and refresh yourself, and I will give you a reward. But the man of God said to the king, if you were to give me half your house, I would not go with you, nor would I eat bread or drink water in this place. For so it was commanded me by the word of the Lord, saying, you shall eat no bread, nor drink water, nor return by the way which you came. So he went another way, and did not return by the way which he came to Bethel. Now an old prophet was living in Bethel, and his sons came and told him all the deeds which the man of God had done that day in Bethel, and the words which he had spoken to the king, these also they related to their father. Their father said to them, which way did he go? Now his sons had seen the way which the man of God who came from Judah had gone. Then he said to his son, saddle the donkey for me. So they saddled the donkey for him, and he rode away on it. So he went after the man of God and found him sitting under an oak, and he said to him, are you the man of God who came from Judah? And he said, I am. And he said to him, come home with me and eat bread. He said, I cannot return with you, nor go with you, nor will I eat bread or drink water with you in this place. For a command came to me by the word of the Lord, you shall eat no bread, nor drink water there. Do not return by going the way which you came. He said to him, I also am a prophet like you, and an angel spoke to me by the word of the Lord, saying, bring him back with you to your house, that he may eat bread and drink water. But he lied to him. So he went back with him and ate bread in his house and drank water. Now it came about as they were sitting down at the table that the word of the Lord came to the prophet who had brought him back. And he cried to the man of God who came from Judah, saying, thus says the Lord, because you have disobeyed the command of the Lord and have not observed the commandment which the Lord your God commanded you, but you have returned and eaten bread and drunk water in the place of which he said to you, eat no bread and drink no water. Your body shall not come to the grave of your fathers. It came about after he had eaten bread and after he had drunk that he saddled the donkey for him, for the prophet whom he had brought back. Now when he had gone, a lion met him on the way and killed him, and his body was thrown on the road, with the donkey standing beside it. The lion also was standing beside the body. And behold, men passed by and saw the body thrown on the road, and the lion standing beside the body. So they came and told it in the city where the old prophet lived. Now when the prophet who brought him back from the way he heard it, he said, it is the man of God who disobeyed the command of the Lord. Therefore the Lord has given him to the lion, which has torn him and killed him. according to the word of the Lord which he spoke to him. Then he spoke to his son, saying, saddle the donkey for me. And they saddled it. He went and found his body thrown on the road with the donkey and a lion standing beside the body. The lion had not eaten the body nor torn the donkey. So the prophet took up the body of the man of God and laid it on the donkey and brought it back. And he came to the city of the old prophet to mourn and to bury him. He laid his body in his own grave, and they mourned over him, saying, alas, my brother. After he had buried him, he spoke to his son, saying, when I die, bury me in the grave in which the man of God is buried. Lay my bones beside his bones. For the thing shall surely come to pass which he cried by the word of the Lord against the altar in Bethel, and against all the houses of the high places which are in the cities of Samaria. After this event, Jeroboam did not return from his evil way. But again he made priests of the high places from among all the people, any who would he ordain to be priests of the high places. This event became sin to the house of Jeroboam, even to blot it out and destroy it from off the face of the earth. And that is the word of the Lord to us this evening. And so Jeroboam has gone up to the altar to burn incense, and we move right into this chapter from last Lord's Day, as we heard. And there's a man of God who comes to Jeroboam as he burned incense, or as he was about to burn incense at the altar. And this man from God brings a word from Yahweh, prophesying, verses 2 and 3, that there was coming a descendant of David named Josiah from Judah who would slaughter these non-Levite, unbiblical, blasphemous priests upon the new invented altar and profane it by human bones being on it. And to prove this, there would come a sign. The altar would split, the ashes would be poured out. And so Jeroboam, furious, says, seize him! But his hand stretched out, he pointed at the prophet, and it froze there as he pointed. And the altar split, and the ashes poured out, as the Lord stated through the prophet. And Jeroboam responds to this by the prophet, to the prophet, asking him to pray for him, that his hand would be restored, that he could put it back down. And then he asks, after he is healed and the man had prayed for him, he asks for the man of God to join him at his home for a reward to eat and drink. But the prophet refuses the invitation, and he goes another way because of what the Lord had commanded him. And yet on his way home, an old prophet had heard from his sons what had happened. And so the old man invites him to his home, and the man of God refuses at first. And the old man lies. He says that he's a prophet, which is true. He's a prophet of God, and yet he lies and says that he has received a word from the Lord and said, you need to come to my home and eat and drink. But the man of God had received a command from the Lord not to do this. And yet, he goes anyway. He disobeys Yahweh. And then mid-meal, the old prophet receives an actual word from the Lord. This is not a lie. This time. And he speaks to the man of God. The Lord, through the old prophet, speaks to the man of God. And he says, you have disobeyed, and your body will not be will not come to the grave of your fathers. And a lion on the way to his home kills the prophet, and his body's thrown in the road. And his body is then buried later by the old prophet, who would request to be buried next to him. And he said, verse 32, for the thing shall surely come to pass which he cried by the word of the Lord against the altar in Bethel, and against all the houses of the high places which are in the cities of Samaria. And that is that Josiah would come and put to death those priests. Now, the final verse states that Jeroboam continued in his old way. He didn't stop after seeing the sign and hearing the word of the Lord from the prophet, being rebuked by him. He did not receive it. So then why do we have this chapter? That's the basic gist of the chapter. Why do we have this chapter? 17 times in this chapter, one referring to the lying of the old prophet, but 17 times in this chapter we hear about the word of the Lord, or we actually hear the word of the Lord. The word of Yahweh is the theme of this chapter. If we look at Jeroboam, the king of the northern kingdom, of the northern 10 tribes. The word of God came to him as a mercy to turn him, to rebuke him, to turn him from his false worship, and he despised it. He despised the word of God. And so we're being called here, beloved, to not be like Jeroboam. If you are corrected and rebuked in worship or concerning your worship, receive it as a mercy from the Lord to turn from your falsity, false worship, and false desires. What kind of mercy was this? It was a sudden and severe mercy, wasn't it? Caused his hand to be held up like that. That he would be rebuked. And if we look at it like, if we look at the man of God, the prophet from Judah, the one who brought the word of God in verses 2 and 3 and then disobeyed the Lord later, the word of God was his safety. He, in verses 9 and 17, came back to it and said, this is what God commanded, so I can't do this. And yet he abandoned the word of the Lord, didn't he? Clearly he knew what the word of the Lord was in verse 9 and 17. He said it. He says it to us. And yet one lie in the prophet, the old prophet, from the old prophet, and this prophet from Judah follows the old man like a sheep to slaughter. That's similar to what we heard this morning from Haggai. Having the command of God, what little will it take to turn us from it? So do not believe every word you hear, beloved. Trust not all people. You are to gauge and discern all that you hear and experience with God's word. That's what the Bereans did, even when they heard the preaching of the word. They went back and made sure that what they heard was true according to the scriptures. And that's what you are to do. God's word is final, not man's word. Men may lie. Men certainly do err. And this man agreed to a counter-revelation claim in opposition to the clear word of, that he had received from Yahweh. And then if we look at the old man, the old prophet, the word of Yahweh was his profession. He's the prophet. And he abused it. He abused the word of the Lord. Verse 18 is very clear. He lied to the man of God, saying, this is what the word of the Lord said, when Yahweh did not say that. And so we should be especially careful, office bearers and myself and elders, and abusing the word of the Lord, trying to say something that it's not saying, or saying something to you and saying it as if God said it, but he did not. So, beloved, let us pray as we consider the word of Yahweh to us. Father, we do thank you for your word. We thank you that you are a God who proclaims it to us and reveals it to us very clearly through the scriptures as we have them in our hands. Thank you for the great privilege that we have, this grace that you have granted to us, that we can not only hear the word, but we can read it with our eyes and see it. We thank you for such a great blessing. And we ask that you would give us discernment when we hear it. That we would go back to it and meditate upon your word and make sure that what we hear from men and others, Father, that it would be, that we would see if it is in accordance with your word. That like the old prophet with the elders, especially here, that we would not abuse it. That we would not abuse our power or our authority that you've granted to us, which is very little. As we are the under shepherds, we ask that we would not be the evil shepherds, the bad shepherds, but that we would be the good under shepherds of your flock, of your people. And that we would speak the word only. And when it is our opinion, that we would state that clearly. But that we would rather than give opinion, speak your word. And that goes for every single one of us here, that we would rather speak your word than all other thoughts that we have. That people would hear and believe and be saved and sanctified because your Spirit works through them as they hear. And then, Father, we ask that we would be guided by your word, that when rebuked, we would hear and we would turn from our sin, not like Jeroboam. When it has to do with our worship or how we worship in spirit and in truth, we're called to do, that you would turn us from just worshiping with our outward acts of our body and cause us by your Spirit to worship in our hearts with all the zeal that you grant us, with all desire to give glory to your name because of your Son, Jesus Christ. Father, we ask that you would be praised and glorified through our worship, through our actions, through our lives, through the words we speak. And that from all of these things, your word would go forth, and that many, not only in our congregation, many out in the world, many throughout the world, would hear the word and believe unto Jesus, unto salvation, and have eternal life. That you would be given all glory and praise, and that as you have saved your people here, we would respond properly with all praise and exaltation, because you are the God who sits enthroned on high, who shed his blood in your Son and granted us to come before your throne. Father, we do praise you. We thank you that you're the God who's the Creator, and you are the prophet that reveals your word to us. Please never take it away, but hide your word in our hearts, that we would spew it forth as when we eat too much food and we have to puke, that your word, we would take in your word so much that we would puke it up and speak it, that people would be saved and that you'd be given glory. For these things we do pray in Jesus' name. Amen.